We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yon. That's at Michael_Yon on Twitter to follow his reporting. He is now in Yerevan, the capital of Armenia. He's in the South Caucasus. We're going to begin, however, with information that is flowing to Michael from people who are visiting the Darien Gap in these last days and weeks. Michael has been in the Darien Gap the spring-summer of 21, the spring-summer of 22, and the spring of 23. He has three versions of the Darien Gap to compare and contrast. And that is why the information that's coming to Michael right now is both mysterious and alarming. Michael, a very good day to you. We will speak of your trip in the South Caucasus in a moment. But your information coming from professionals, some healthcare workers, some colleagues, and reflecting upon the results of your recent visit with a team of young people, is that there is right now a series of symptoms of to people in the Darien Gap that are not consistent with any one affliction, but many afflictions. What can you tell us? Good day to you, Michael.
Hey, John. Yeah, the thing is coming to pass that we've been warning about ever since I started coming on and talking with you about Darien after Biden was installed. That the diseases were going to make their way through the Darien Gap, and they are doing that now. Now, in a, with a group that I was down there with maybe 4 months ago or so, five out of six of us got sick. Five out of six. In fact, Jordan Peterson wanted me to take him down there, and I had to call no joy on that because five out of six of us got sick, and I didn't want to, you know, get Jordan sick. And so and then on the next trip that I did, Oscar Blue, a Mexican journalist who was one of the people that got really sick of that five out of six, he was bedridden along with Ben Berkbaum. Both were bedridden, and another a friend down there. All three were bedridden. Of this five out of six, three were actually bedridden. Now, on the next trip, Oscar Blue, down there again, was bedridden, is extremely fit. He's a boxer. He's a Mexican journalist who travels all over Mexico doing border issues. He's in Guatemala. He's down, you know, the Darien Gap. He's walked through the Darien Gap. So he's a fit man. His immune system is quite rugged. And yet twice he's been bedridden. In fact, I could barely, I thought he wasn't going to be able to even walk one of the days I was down there with him last time. So that was, this is all, that was about 2 months ago, that second trip. Now I just got a message this morning from a friend. She's been going down to Darien for about 20 years. So I've spent a lot of time with her deep, deep in the Darien. She's a nurse. And she's, and I'm reading her note right now that she sent today. She said, I brought 11, all but three came back to the States. Anyway, eight of them got sick. So out of 11, eight got sick. Now, so that's the plurality of people going down there getting sick, or the majority. And now you see, just as we've been warning about, we have dengue and malaria popping up in Texas and Florida. Now, why is it popping up there? I do not know. I can't ascribe that to the aliens coming in, but it's a logical first step. Of course, we're cognizant of the Gates mosquito facilities in Colombia and Florida and other places. We're highly cognizant of all these things. But, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist and I don't know what's causing it. But what we do know is there are a lot more malaria cases down in Darien Gap now than there used to be in the past. For instance, the Indians, Francisco Agape is an example. He's the mayor of 29 Imbarawunan Indian villages. He's a friend of mine. I've been out all over the gap with him and to Washington, D.C. For that matter, we've traveled a lot together. Francisco, the mayor down there in Comarca Uno, the number one reservation one, told me that, you know, just a few years ago, they didn't have much malaria, even in Darien Gap. They didn't have much. Among the Imbara Indians. And he said, there would be one or two cases, a few cases every year, and then everybody would talk about it. But now he said it's so many that they can't count. Malaria and dengue is just, it's running rampant and epidemic down there. And so likewise, the aliens who are coming through on their path to the United States, huge numbers are getting malaria. I don't know how many are getting dengue. I don't know how many are getting malaria, but it's quite a lot. But the symptoms that these people are showing, for instance, out of the 8, out of the 11, in this note that I just got today from the nurse, my nurse friend down there, they're mixed symptoms. And they don't all sound like malaria, like sweats and whatnot. Some are just like explosive diarrhea that go on and on. So, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. But I can tell you something's not right. And it sounds, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see a rocket, and it seems like it's multiple different items going on. One being malaria, one being dengue, and then a lot of other stuff. And I don't know what it is. I keep telling epidemiologists, go down there and jump into the middle of this thing because we need you down there in Darien Gap.
Michael, let us compare 21, your visits, 22, your visits, and 23, your visits. In 21, my memory, help me, Michael, my memory is that it was a catch-as-catch-can of people coming through the Darien Gap. You met a young Haitian family gathered together from the Dominican Republic and Chile for many years, a mother and her two children. You also saw a Nepalese because you've lived in Nepal and you chatted with him about how he was coming through. And then there were others who suggestively were from Haiti or Colombia or other parts of South America. That was 21. And it was not an overwhelming number. It was my memory about 100 a day when it was maximum is my memory. And the nationalities you reported were from all over the world. You remember when you found that casebook about where people were from? It was a mixed version of the world. In 22, however, the numbers were dominated by people coming from Haiti or coming from a country they'd been staying in after leaving Haiti, Dominican Republic, Chile, Brazil. They'd been working in South America. Now, and we're going to take this opportunity to travel through the Darien Gap to Mexico because the word was out in 21 and 22 that the American border was open. Now, in 23, we're told Venezuelans are dominant, Colombians are also dominant, and what is new here is China. China was not present to my memory in 21, nor was it present in 22. I don't remember you ever remarking about a Chinese national coming through. Plenty of them in 23. So would that by itself introduce the possibility of these symptoms that aren't quite dengue, aren't quite malaria, aren't quite a virus like the flu, but are a range of viruses? You've lived in Asia. You know that there are things in Asia that have never taken hold in America. Does that sound logical to you, Michael?
I don't know. Again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but as a war correspondent, I have just read stacks and stacks of books on pandemic, because pandemic, famine, and war, they go together. Four horsemen, that's three of the four. And so, it's something I've been keeping my eye on constantly. In fact, that was why I was one of the very first one in January of 2020 to be warning about something coming out of China with the COVID thing. Of course, we didn't call it COVID back then. But of course, I was in Hong Kong. You remember back then, John, yes, we were talking about that, whether or not I should stay in Hong Kong, because we didn't know what was happening. But so I am watching this constantly. Now, looking at the numbers, I've got some numbers from inside of the Darien Gap on the 30th of June. And this is how many people came through on one day. And this is a slow day, by the way, 1,556. This is a slow day, 1,556. Of these, 116 were Chinese, and 20 Vietnamese, 5 from India, 8 from Afghanistan, and 115 from unlisted Asian countries. And then Africans, 41 from unlisted countries, and then 4 from Burkina Faso, 1 from Angola, and then another long list like Cameroon, Sierra Leone, Senegal, Congo, just a lot of places, Nigeria, many countries. And then from from South America, we've got, for instance, Ecuador, 346, and Venezuela, 957, and then 7 from Cuba, 8 from Peru, and then some other countries like Colombia, 38, Chile, 6, Brazil, 2, and then a few other countries. Actually, 1,400 others from South America, but it doesn't list the countries they're from. So, I mean, you can see it's quite intense down there. And now, where are all these diseases coming from? I don't know. Of course, you know, when I put these sorts of things on Twitter, people are quick to point out that Bill Gates has a mosquito lab down in Colombia. We're cognizant of that, also Florida and other places, and that the Chinese, for instance, have worked hard to weaponize dengue and to create drones that will dispense mosquitoes. So this sort, you know, these are just data points. I'm not trying to connect the dots and say this, that, or the other thing is happening. But what we can see is a lot of people are sick in Darien, and now we see more outbreaks on the border in Texas, and also you see in the news more people getting sick in Florida and other places. And is it connected? I don't know. You decide.
Michael, what got my attention is when you said your friend, the healthcare worker, went down there with a team, and they're familiar with the gap. This isn't the first time they arrived on planet Earth. And healthcare workers are sophisticated immune systems. They have to be after working in hospitals and working with people who are ill. And yet, what was the statistic you said? 8 of 11 became ill with different symptoms? Was that it?
8 out of 11, you know, and I've been down into Darien with her extensively. We've been to probably 20 villages together, and she's been going, I'm just guessing 20. That's directionally accurate. We've been, deep, deep into the Darien, various rivers, and, you know, all the Indians up there know her and waving at her when we go up in the dugout canoes. And then, you know, we stayed out in the jungle for a week one time. And so she's been going to Darien for 20 years. Her name, is it okay if I say her name? She doesn't mind. If it's fine with you, I'll say it.
Yes, fine.
Her name is Diane Edrington, and she knows Darien like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, she seems like when you meet her, she's like a sweet Southern lady. You would have no idea she's up climbing up these, you know, embankments on the river and, you know, working her way up into the jungle through the mud and stuff, you know, taking teams out. And I'd spend day after day with her out there doing her medical missions in the jungle. She's well aware of all the diseases out there. And yet, you know, she wrote me this note this morning saying 8 out of 11 of her people just got sick.
And she doesn't have a single explanation for the symptoms. They're different symptoms. Is that correct? Or were they all the same?
They're different symptoms. And she's a little befuddled on it as well. And so, you know, what's going on down there? I don't know. Again, we need some really serious epidemiologists to get down there, like not just one or two, but, you know, a bunch, and spread out and do your epidemiology work, because there's something coming through and it's not good.
Michael Yon, @Michael_Yon is the Twitter address to connect to all of Michael's reporting, including this podcast, which eventually will make its way there. Michael is in Yerevan, Armenia. So when we come back, Michael's going to explain what he's found in the South Caucasus. Recall now, Armenia has remained very close to the Russian Federation and Vladimir Putin. Armenia is the home of not one, but two Russian military camps. One is an airport. Armenia was recently in and continues to be in conflict with Azerbaijan and Turkey over the Nagorno-Karabakh province of Azerbaijan, dating from the end of the Soviet Union. Yerevan is also a very popular place for young Russians to flee to escape the threat of a mobilization in Russia. When we come back, Yerevan, Armenia. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.